his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the crash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we ask the Holy Spirit bless this time. Give it us. May your word be released and bring our hearts to praise you, because you are a great God. Thank you all the blessings from the beginning of the year to the end. This moment, Lord, quiet our hearts so that we can hear your words. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This is a hymn of faith, not only a hymn of praise. It just predicted that no matter what difficulties we are going through, the ending will be one that will bring glory to God and joy to our hearts. I have a very bad habit. Every time I decide whether I should read a book or not, I always flip to the ending. If a good ending, I'll read it. Bad ending, I won't. And now we have DVDs. If I watch a movie, I ask people, they will not tell me, but I will flip to the ending. Good ending, I watch. And the worst habit is I would like to tell those who want to watch it, I tell you what, the ending, if I finish, they yell at me. Ending is good. If you know the collection of sounds, you flip in the middle. The first part of they are all songs of lamentations, long, some of sorrow, of mourning. The first part of it. As we go into the middle and slowly moving down to toward the end, you see hope, more and more praises, more praises. I hope our life is like that. No matter what hardship we're going through, one day we'll be praising him. Will we? Yeah, we will. Our God is a wonderful God. Psalm 150 is not only beautiful Psalm, 6 verses. If you count it 10 times within this short psalm, we'll say, let's praise him. We'll praise, repeat it again. What does it mean, praise? Praise means condition, a status of our heart, that we submit ourselves under his sovereignty. Acknowledging everything God allowed to happening to us and to our family, to our church, to our country, everything has a good purpose. We believe God is in control. So whether it is dark clouds or sunshine, we praise God because he is in control. Where are we going to praise him? He says, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Sanctuary means place people gather to worship God. Heaven means the universe God created, the great nature. So we know that structure of psalm is parallel. The wording are the parallel, meaning the same thing. Meaning that the gathering, the sanctuary of God, God's people, and meaning that the universe God created, both of them, where God is in control, we praise him. Very important in God's sanctuary. You know, when we read the Bible, it's not just the tabernacle or the temple or gathering of God's people. Each one of us, our lives have different life stories. Some are difficult, some are easy. But no matter what, God brings us different personality, people with different life backgrounds and history. And God wants us to praise Him. Praise Him is not only praise God for this fiscal century. Praise God for those people who gather here. Let's praise Him. We praise Him for each other. And this is very important. But one thing I always say, I want to remind you again, myself and you, that praising starts with the foundation of submissiveness. We submit, we surrender our idea, our way of thinking, our concept of certain things under God. So no matter how things turn out, we praise God because God is in control. It's so important. How do we look at one another? In Ephesians, Paul reminds us, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rise to become a holy temple in the Lord. Can we praise for one another for that? Because it was not you, God, it was the one who has brought us together. We praise for each other's difference. No matter how we look at things, we praise God. You know, my wife always likes to joke at me and say, Calvin, before we got married, I never knew it was like that. I don't like to eat fish. I never liked fish. I didn't eat fish. But when we date, the first time she took me to a fish restaurant, fish noodles. And the worst is, after the meal, she asked, how does it taste? What do you think? Wonderful. But after, now we married 44 years, he said, you should have told me you never really like fish. Not only fish, we have different things of looking at things. Now in God's household, we have different way of looking at things. You may like this military that way. You know, brothers and sisters, when we look at shortcomings, we have plenty of things to complain. But we look at the strength and what God bless us feel. We have plenty to give thanks. It's how do you look at life, even your life and mine. As we gather here, what kind of gathering is this? When God listened to the voices and noises in His sanctuary, what does He hear? It's very important. Not only that, the author of this psalm reminds us, praise Him in His mighty heavens, in His universe, His great natures. I talk to people and say, you guys don't even know how blessed you are. People live in North Carolina are the blessed people. You don't believe me? Go to live in New York City for 1 year and come back and tell me. I lived in that part of country for 35 years and finally realized when I moved down here, wow, people, the weather, you know, you guys even closed down for 1 week for 2 inches of snow. I couldn't believe it. One night I came home and passed by the gas station. Was there for a long line of pumping gas. I went to the supermarket. All the milks are gone. I said, what's going on? The big storm's coming. Don't know. Quick. So I start grabbing things and I watch the storm. Hey, 2 inches of snow. I said, well, we never consider snowing. Unless it's no heavier than 8 inches, right? Yeah, some of us here from the park, we know. One morning I woke up at 3 feet of snow, and that was what we call snowing. But here it's so beautiful. But do we have time to slow down and watch and give thanks to God? Today we're so busy. Is he studying? Is he working? Is he complaining? Is he dealing with family issues? And when you come to church, you will be was looking at those boxes of stuff, I was wondering the time we spend in doing this. If we spend praising God and sharing the gospel with the big difference. Yes. We are so busy, we don't have time to look. I went to Australia, my mom used to live there, she passed away already. But in the past, like every 2 years, I went to Australia. I saw the coastline. Went to Blue Mountain, before I reached that, the coastline was fantastic. But on the edge, there was a stone path, Psalm 19. The whole universe declared the glory of God. I don't know who crafted that. But it still reminds us, look at the universe. Look at the universe. Do we have time to praise God? There was one brother shared his experience. He attended John church retreat from all the Chinese churches in North America. Thousands of people. Many years ago in California, the theme was the mighty wonder works of God. So they invited the best speakers in the whole country and in Hong Kong, Taiwan, other places. Most famous preachers and most famous speakers conducting so many workshops. But the campus was a big one, big area. Buildings were located in different parts. So I think it was 1,200 people attended that retreat. And everybody was so busy checking the schedule, following the next workshop is right there. So they went through trying to learn about the glory of God, God's mighty works. So one brother, he said, he was hurrying, he was late into the day. He was hurrying from one building to another, trying to attend the next workshop. And he ran past by a stream, a river. It was the time of sunset. The sun was going down. And the brilliance of sunlight filled the river. And the willows stretching out and the river. It was such a beautiful picture. And he couldn't help but stopping there. You look at the picture, he said, wow. And he stood there and started saying, how great thou art. You know, it was not from the workshop, he said. It was from the world. Actually, he was able to slow himself down to look at what God's creation. He said, wow, wonderful. Here, the author of Psalm 50 tells, in his century, praise God. In his nature, praise God. Praise God for what? He lists out two items, verse 2. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. The first one is not difficult to do. Every year, we praise God for his mercy, his healing, his special gift. He answered prayer. He healed my sickness. He answered prayer. He gave me a baby. He answered prayer. I lost my job. He gave me a new one. So on and so forth. We praise God because he protects us. It actually is wonderful. God protects us. Brothers and sisters, every morning when you and I wake up, it's a gift, thanks to God. Right? For my age, a lot of people couldn't sleep. But God gave me a special gift. The second my head hit the pillow, I was out. When I woke up, was I wonderful? Fresh. Re-energized. This morning I woke up, looked out there, it was 6 a.m. It was dark and cloudy. Now I see sunshine. Everything is a special gift. We should give God. He saved our lives. When I was attending a meeting really late, I drove from the house, from a church building, from church to a house. It took me 1 hour and 10 minutes every time I travel. So yesterday, I spent 4 hours, about 4.5 hours in driving, to and from between home and here. And then I was leaving the church building. When I got to the highway, I couldn't see within 10 feet. The fog was so thick. I was driving 70 miles an hour, and I slowed down. Before I knew it, I saw something in front of me. You know, it was was late, 11:30 or something, the road was empty. Suddenly I saw something in front of me, it's back closer. It was driving 60 miles per hour. Two big deers standing on the road, blocking the road. I couldn't turn right, I couldn't turn left. I had to go straight. I couldn't stop because my car would be spinning. I was praying. And you know what? There was a gap between two deers I drove through. I pray, God, keep the deers there. Don't let them move, ever move. He went through. So I went home, I told my wife, I said, Calvin, you should praise God. Of course, I should praise God. Every time I was driving safely home, I praise God. Every meal, we give thanks. But, you know, it's not just for the things he did for us. It's when we look around. He was so grateful. He blessed us so much. A few weeks ago, I listened to a practice of Kentata. Every year during Kentata time, in the past year or so, you know, God reminded me of Edward. It was one of a Sunday that the choir, Christine, was preparing, and I walked inside the sanctuary. There was a ping pong match there, competition. I walked inside, and I saw it. I passed them. He had me hit the ping pong paddle with it. We prayed. I said, no, you pray. And I walked past by. A few minutes later, we fell down. Every year, it reminded me. When he was here, I didn't really know that the days and time we could be together was limited. Actually, the day before that, he was trapped in all day. I still remember he came to me. We were smiling. We won. I said, well, you won the championship. He said, no, we won no matter what. It was wonderful. But you know, when we rushed to the hospital, Christine was there. At that time, the doctor declared that they couldn't bring him back. I heard Christine pray. She thanked God for the years that he gave them. You know, in all this, of course, we praise God for what he did for us. But what happened if God remained silent? What happened if we allow things happen? We couldn't want it to happen. What happened if, no matter what you said, nobody listened, no matter what you did, people think different. What happened if you lost certain things and suddenly overnight lost them all? You know the book of Job? You remember that, right? Suddenly, overnight, he lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his properties. He lost his health. There were three of his best friends came. They were his best friend, no question about it. He was sitting there quietly with him for 1 week. And then they start talking. The brother says, when I read that book, I was reminded, we shouldn't talk too much, right? We shouldn't jump to conclusion too much. Because actually, we didn't know the facts. We didn't know how he was feeling. And they said, oh, you look at you. You must be sinning a lot. God's punishment on you. So you better confess. Job said, no, I didn't. I said, yo, you did. Come on. Take yourself out of this situation by confessing. Confessing. It was your fault. Job said, no. And then he got sick. And you know what? His wife came. Tell him that are you still holding on to your integrity? Give up God. Actually, in NIV, there's a word I don't want to repeat. Actually, the Hebrew here means that you give up God. Drop God from your hand. Leave him. While you're still holding on, give up God and die. Can you imagine? He was told his own wife. You know, the book of Job tells us one thing. understand you. But it's okay. Job never gave up God, even though he had many questions regarding what he went through and why he went through this suffering. He never questioned God. He did question God, a lot of questions why he got sick, but I should say he never gave up God. He held into the last minute. Did God actually forgot him? No, God didn't. So somebody tell me that the theme of the book of Job is like this. Job never a missionary, believe in miraculous healing. Of course, the decision is up to God. Sometimes God heals, sometimes God allows it to continue. God is God. But we follow James chapter 5, we anoint the sick people with oil, lay hands and pray. After that, we always have a sharing, a testimony time. So that year, I thought it was about 10 or 12 years ago, during a sharing time, two pastors went straight to the pulpit. The first one shared that he experienced a miracle. He was declared that it was over. He had terminal cancer. The doctor told him that, Mr. So-and-so, I'm sorry to let you know that there's no more treatment I can offer you. So eat whatever you can, see whatever you can, do whatever you want to enjoy. At home. He prayed. One of the nights he was ready to surrender to the will of God. He was praying, God, heal me, you know. And then suddenly he said, okay, your will be done. That time he know myself in this. You know, when things do not work our way, praise God. When I became a Christian, the pastor gave me a Bible verse I had on for more than 50 years. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for those who love him or are called according to his will. I translating from the Chinese Bible version. We know that all things work together. We praise him no matter what. And then praise him by what? I was amazed to notice that the author of Psalm 150 used two verses to tell us so many things, but he used something about the third verse till the sixth verse till the end. He used a chunk of this, big chunk of the psalm to describe how can we praise together. He mentioned those instruments. Some of them I cannot even pronounce correctly in English. Horn and something on the trumpet, harp, and so on and so forth. I count them. You know what? I love music and I love musical instruments. I play 6 or 7 type of musical instruments. But believe me, none of them are good. But who cares? I praise the music instruments, so praise God, right? It was one time in my church, we had a choir. Every day they practiced, and the choir was a senior citizen choir. The oldest one was 99 years old, the youngest one was 65. On that they went on praise God in a worship service. The psalm, the hymn they sang out, had so many tones. It was not a song. But the way they sang out, I look at them, it was the most beautiful hymn I could ever hear. Think of this, only 99 years old, praising God in front of people. The other psalm trying to bring us together as a group, sing. We have different background, different stories, different gifts, different way of thinking. Bring together, sing a song, not to show off how good they are, but praise God. Not only that, he says, praise him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I used to have, you know, I have my personal questions. Sometimes when I first became a Christian, I ask God, you tell us to be humble. Why you yourself like people to praise you? I was trying to figure out. Nobody gave me an answer. Later, when my life grew, I studied Bible, I realized that not that God missed our praise. We need to praise God. God wants us to praise him because praises will set us free. If you start praising God, the one being blessed is not you. It's you, not God. God doesn't need our praises. He's the greatest one. He doesn't need anybody to praise him. But he said, praise me, so that he can set free. I know many great pastors. I also know many small, little pastors. One of the smallest one was a female minister. His name is Mrs. Miss Lee. He never got married. She was single. You know, she was I call her little because nobody knew her. She was from Vietnam. He finished her seminary study in she will stop looking at me. I was looking at her. After all this, we survived. And then she asked, what next for you, Pastor Chen? I said, I don't know. I said, what next to you? Minister Lin told me, he said, nothing. I had to spend all my life taking care of a small group, 10 people, and trying to share the gospel with a few hundred. No food, nothing. Now even churches in Hong Kong didn't even know me. He said, so what? I stay there. I fulfill what God sent me there to do. And now my life probably over. But it's okay. I can face my Lord. You know, when I look at her, I was reminded of what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The next time I met her again, it was in Australia. She was very old. Then she passed. She went back to the Lord. I always remember her because I don't think God will be very hard based upon our success outside. God will bring us our faithfulness. It's important for us to be reminded one another. Don't just look at the negative sides. Give thanks to God. Even include the negative sides. God was in control, right? God is in control and God will be in control. So let's become a congregation of praises. One day, I hope the church attract people to here. Not because of big buildings, because here gather a group of people praising God, giving thanks to Him. Because He is our God. Let's pray together. Dear God, dear Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in this church. And pray for myself too. Let us all know how to give thanks. Not because who we are, not because what we have received from you on the outside, but because you are God.